guys. Bon Appetit Foodcast. I'm Adam Rappaport. This week, back by popular demand yet again, we have Carla Lolly Music and Emil Stonic with Rice 4.0. This time, they talk about rice beverages, and then they kind of sidetrack into tempura, and then, well, you will see. It's a interesting, as always, pod. So let's get to it. Here we are with Rice 4.0.
Rice wizards of the world, unite and take over.
Doopy-doo.
I love the Smiths, and I love rice.
I love the rice wizards.
I love the rice wizards, because the rice wizards are the reason we're here today.
Okay, so let's just back it up a second. Rice 4.0 is back by popular demand.
Well, I mean, I guess Rice 4.0 isn't back by popular demand.
That is true.
We've never given the people Rice 4.0.
No, this is Rice Pod back by popular demand, episode 4.
Episode 4.
0.
The Rice Awakens.
So I have to just tell a brief story being on my book tour.
Spill it.
Where Cooking Begins. If you don't already have your copy.
Get it.
Let's get going, beeps.
Yeah.
There I was in California. Northern California, Southern California, Sonoma, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I was out there talking to people, meeting and greeting, selfieing, Q&A-ing, signing. It was just a great experience.
Sounds fun.
And one of the best parts about it was that I would get love for the book, right? People would be like, oh my God, so happy to come out for the book thing. Love the book. And then very quickly, they would tell me what else they loved. And a lot of people came up to me, literally introduced themselves as rice wizards. They were like, Carla, it's great to see you. Great to meet you. Love the book. I'm a rice wizard. That was like many conversations. Then some people would just come up to me and be like, I'm a rice wizard. Just like as an opener, I'm a rice wizard. And I was like, you rice wizards are the thing that keeps me going. You are the inspiration, the light, the drive.
Oh my God.
Just the community that we've built of rice wizards. It was always there.
So what I want to know about the rice wizards that you met.
Yeah.
What were their hats like and what were their sleeves like?
Right.
Big open sleeves or...
Yeah, so this is
like
the thing.
Kind of a more restrained, more modern wizard sleeve.
Yeah, so when you're interacting with rice wizards out in community in normal public,
right,
they couldn't be that overt.
Yeah, gotcha.
So actually, you had to look for other signifiers.
Okay.
So there were some special buttons that I felt were like kind of an insidery thing of like, I am also Rice Wizard. But
hold on, what kind of buttons?
Just like, one guy had a really cool jean jacket. It had buttons on it.
Okay.
So I'm remembering him specifically.
Okay.
I think it's more like, you can't be going around waving your rice wizard sleeves all around.
Right. You don't want to raise your freak flag that high.
Like, you know, like life, there's enough distractions.
Totally. And you don't want that to be necessarily the first thing that someone thinks about when they see you is like, oh, that's obviously a rice wizard.
Right.
You want to be...
Unless you're me, in which case I do want to know the first thing about you is that you are a rice wizard. So it's more of like, we were more in like a secret handshake kind of a place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah. We should make buttons. RWs.
Yeah.
RW buttons.
I mean, I still think maybe sleeve extensions would be good. Just so you could attach wizard sleeves to an existing garment. Maybe you like go to a bar or something and then you're like, oh my God, there are definitely a lot of rice wizards here. And then you go into the bathroom, put your sleeves on, and then everyone's like, yo!
I like it as an optional add-on to an outfit because you may not want to be wearing wizard sleeves when you're perhaps, say, cooking rice.
Right. Oh, especially.
Because it could be you don't want to be dangling down into the burners.
Well, the wizard sleeves that I'm thinking of are made of asbestos. So
oh, good. And so, but if you were to have a rice wizard robe of your own,
yep.
Which I'm right now like, why don't we?
I don't know.
You are wearing a jean jacket.
It's true.
You could also use some just like general flair, some rice wizard flair.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were designing your own wizard's robe or hat, what style are you going for?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm kind of just imagining your standard issue, long, silky, you know, yeah, wizard robe.
Like Dumbledore.
But instead of like little stars all over it, you know, it's just grain, all the grains of rice, all the types of rice that exist.
Well, folks, that does it for the rice food cast today. We are done. We have to go make a robe now. Just a constellation of rice stars.
Yeah, totally. And there will be like an entire new, you know, like the stars in the sky, sure, set of constellations that are just rice oriented, you know?
Sure. They're just like forming like pots of, right, things.
Ah, yes. The pilaf galaxy. Oh, and over yonder we have the Biryani Nebula.
That is correct.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, the thing that is true is that there is, I wasn't sure that we could do 4.0.
Right.
And we talked internally, you know, here around the office, like, I love it. I want to do it. The people seem to want it. Like, do we have it in us?
You know, and Carla, you know, I will say, Carla put together a really nice email that like went to myself and MR producer before we got in the studio today. And I read it over quickly and I was just like, of course we've got enough.
Let's just say we haven't even stirred this pot of rice yet.
No, we have not. We've not fluffed it. We've not.
Not, and even like it. Forked it around.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to talk about bevies.
Well, I did, because I was like, you know, we haven't talked about it all. Mm-hmm. Is a rice-based beverage.
Yep, it's true.
We've been so focused on what you could put on a spoon that we forgot about all the ricey things you can put in a cup or a glass.
Oh, my God.
And right now I'm drinking a lovely cup of hot water.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, what is in that cup?
Just some hot water. Mm-hmm. But what I wish I was drinking was horchata.
Mm.
I love horchata so much. If I had a cat, one of the names would be horchata.
You do have
no
cats.
Another one. If we have to get it,
I was like, wait, what? I was like, Carla, you kind of are into your cats. It's kind of a thing.
A cat named Horchata, though.
Well, why don't you just rename one of your cats Horchata?
They just have become their names.
Yeah, but they're cats. I don't know what their names are.
I just start calling Jeffrey Horchata from now on. Yeah, see what happens.
I also think that Jeffrey Horchata is a good compound name.
That is
name.
A good name. His full name is King Jeffrey. So yeah. King Jeffrey Horchata. That is a good name.
That's a great name.
I could also just start calling one of the children Horchata.
Yeah.
That's easy. Give them nicknames all the time.
Yeah, they don't know their names yet, right?
One of them indeed. This is a side story, but did I tell you when Cosmo recently told us to call him Jake?
No, you didn't, but that is cool as hell.
He was like, he filled out his camp paperwork for the summer, and it was like, welcome, new camper, and he crossed out Cosmo and wrote Jake. And I was like, what's up with that? Like, I noticed you crossed your name out. He was like, oh, yeah, call me Jake. And so then we, like,
so cool.
100% called him Jake for days.
Yeah.
And I think he was surprised at how willing we were to just adopt it.
Right. He thought you were going to be like,
you can't do that. Not gave you your name on your birth certificate. We were like, all right, whatever,
like,
Jake.
Care.
So, like, to the point where a couple days in, Fernando and I were like, oh, man, classic Jake. Okay. King Jeffrey Horchata. So horchata is a delicious Mexican beverage.
Mm-hmm.
It is rice milk that is cinnamony and sweet and delicious. Mm. And I remember the first time I tried to make it very clearly, because mm-hmm. I loved it. And my husband really loves horchata. And I was like, I will make horchata. There's got to be. So
totally.
I have Rick Bayless's very first book, the classic Mexican cooking one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to do this. This is rice. This is rice.
Right.
No problem. Yeah. And the very first step in the recipe, you have to put the rice in a blender and pulverize it to a powder.
Huh.
I had no idea.
Interesting. And do you have to? Is that how it's always
made? Well,
that's
the thing. So then I've looked at lots of other recipes since then. And then you soak it.
Gotcha.
And I do think...
just in water.
In water. Some recipes say to soak in hot water, some mm-hmm. in cold. Some will tell you to discard the water or not. Mm-hmm. His recipe is really good, and I still use it. You want to get the Mexican cinnamon for that if you can. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like more mild, a little more fragrant.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you can use any cinnamon, I'm sure. But I think the point of the pulverizing and the soaking is the hydrating.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, is there a reason why you wouldn't just soak the rice?
Right.
Blend, you know, until the rice itself is softened.
Right.
Blend that and then strain it.
So when I make rice milk, so one of the things is like I love to make rice milk just at home. You know,
cool.
Get out the nut bag.
Love that about
get
you.
Get out the Vitamix and like make your own. I went through a whole alt milk phase and was making the almond milk and the whatever milk, and then got into rice milk also.
And then you got into debt.
Deep in the debt. Well, then I was like in the heavy in the bulk bin world.
You would just like go in and like see the bulk bin. It was like one of those like gags where you like, you know, spoon some out into a bag, put it on the shelf and just wheel the rest of the bulk bin towards the checkout line.
It's true. Yeah. And when I made rice milk, I was using the same 1-to-4 ratio that I use for nut milk. Mm-hmm. So like 1 cup of rice, 4 cups of water, sometimes hot water. Sometimes you use hot water for the nuts too. It like extracts more of the fats and things. Yeah. But it can make it gritty. It really can. So I think the pulverizing, then soaking, then blending, I think is steps to an ultimately really creamy, high extraction end product.
So okay, so for the horchata, you pulverize the rice, you soak it.
Mm-hmm. I want to pull up the recipe, which I left in the printer
and
on
then,
the other floor.
And then you blend it.
Correct. Okay, so you're pulverizing the rice. You are combining with almonds and cinnamon, hot tap
almonds.
Water.
Whoa. Hold on. There's nuts in here.
There's some nuts in here. And this is going to relate. I'm going to foreshadow another rice beverage. And then you puree in a blender until no longer gritty, about, he says, 4 minutes.
Oh my God.
That's a long time in a blender.
That's a long time to have your blender on. You got to put some headphones on for that.
I know. That's like a long track.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's cool though. I mean, I do feel like, honestly, a lot of things that are made in blenders, food processors, people don't get it smooth enough. You just got to run the thing.
Let it go. Let it do its job.
Let it go.
And walk away.
Walk away.
And also, like, get comfortable in the high setting.
Yeah.
Do you have a Vitamix at home?
We have a competitor.
Interesting.
The Waring.
Oh.
Which was free to me.
Okay.
So I don't have a Vitamix, but I have that. And it works, you know, much in the same way.
Is it really loud?
Yeah. It's pretty loud. I don't, you know, honestly, I gotta be real. Like, I very rarely take out my blender or my food processor anymore. I just don't. I'm just too, I hate cleaning them. And I do it when absolutely necessary. But you know, I think that this summer I will bring it out for horchata.
I was gonna say, you will not be able to make horchata without the blender.
I can't just mortar and pestle the whole thing.
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
So, horchata, freezing cold, slightly sweetened. This, I think the nuts are there for sweetness, and I think that they're there for body because of all the great things you could say about rice, having fat in it is not one of its attributes.
No. I feel like it wants a little fat to be added.
Which is why we love our buttered rice so much.
Oh, my God.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started on buttered rice.
And the pilaf. So then, okay, so if rice milk is like horchata, just like plain, it's like horchata without anything, you know, it's all based on rice milk. But when I make rice milk, I do that 1-to-4 and it really works with sushi rice or basmati or jasmine or really whatever rice I've had.
Would you only use a white rice? You wouldn't use a brown rice?
No, or? I would love to use a brown rice. And I looked up some recipes and that is popular too. And then I kind of went deeper into this, and some people have you start with cooked rice.
Oh, interesting.
And then soak that and then blend that.
Huh. I mean, I guess that kind of, I feel like that would give it a really different flavor.
Totally.
You know? But it sounds kind of appealing.
Yes.
Like that, when you think about like when you lift the lid off of a pot of rice and that first whiff of just like nutty.
I bet it has
rice.
So much more flavor.
Yeah.
Like all the flavors unlocked.
Well, here's what I've been thinking about too. It's like, what if you toasted the rice before you started the process? Like put it in, you know, just put it on a sheet pan or something and just like put it in a 375 degree oven, 400 degree oven, get a little bit of like toastiness and color on it.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that would slap. That would
definitely.
Be, that would be.
I also think that it would make it even more important that you are then adding this hydration step,
yep.
right? Because it's going to be like kind of dried out, toasty, maybe even more brittle
mm-hmm.
than it was before.
Mm. So here's, I've got another horchata question for you. And then okay. I feel like, you know, maybe we're belaboring our horchata.
We might, but we haven't talked about Taiwanese rice milk yet.
Oh my God. No, we have not. We got it.
Which yeah. has a whole other nut element Ooh. That is just, wow.
Well, what I was going to say is do people ever add dairy, like cow milk to horchata?
I mean,
or like sweetened condensed milk? Because I feel like I feel like I have, I sadly not great at digesting lactose.
Yes, we know.
And I feel like sometimes I have gotten horchata and been like, oh my God, this is so creamy
yeah.
and delicious
yeah.
and like really sweet. And I'm like, I think there might be some dairy in here.
I cannot answer for every human on earth, but I'm sure someone has done it.
Yeah.
Well, where's our horchata? We have a horchata latte recipe that was from Kofax. I just remember this. And it's horchata, but in the soaking stage, you also add frickin' coffee beans.
Oh,
and then you blend that.
Oh, God.
And it's bananas.
Oh, I thought you said it was rice. I'll be here all day.
Oh, what are we gonna do?
I want to know about this Taiwanese rice drink that you're
yeah eating. Okay, so hold on. Okay, I'll look up coffee horchata in a minute. The Taiwanese rice milk, I think the only time that I ever had it was it comes packaged. You can order right the Taiwanese rice milk, and there's Taiwanese sesame milk that you can order online. And we did some story and they were in the kitchen, and I can't remember what we were developing. It might have been something with Winsun, now that I think about it.
Yep.
And so delicious, but so, so sweet.
Uh-huh.
So when I was looking up the rice milk stuff, it took me back to that Taiwanese rice milk place. And one of the very distinct flavor components in that is deeply toasted, dark, and nutty peanuts.
Oh, cool.
That they take like very far.
Oh,
and some
my God.
Recipes were like, I do mine a little bit less just for health reasons, but like you can take it really like to a well-toasted nut place.
Oh my God.
And then also freshly toasted sesame seeds.
Oh my God.
I know.
Okay.
I can't.
So it's like it's a trifecta.
Yes.
It's a so rice, deeply
peanuts.
Toasted peanuts and sesame seeds.
And brown sugar.
Wow, that sounds
insane. Just the richness that you would get from that, and that like silky, like mm-hmm. the way the peanut milk is just like, I don't know what it is about the peanut.
I want to chug a glass of that right now. I'm like really hungry, and it's like one of those things that I feel like would just be like
incredible.
I want to chug like 32 ounces of it. I want to like not stop drinking. And
I like
gasp
really,
at the end.
I weirdly want to pour it over ice. So,
Ooh.
So bad.
Yeah.
Rice on ice is so nice.
Rice on ice is so nice.
Doesn't that sound delicious?
That sounds so good.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I've got.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's been really fun. Wait, just kidding.
We have to go find Taiwanese rice milk rice now.
Yeah, rice now.
Rice away.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We haven't even discussed the whole world of alcoholic rice beverages, right. Which is like a whole, you know, and this...
Some of my favorite alcoholic beverages...
are rice-based.
Come from rice.
I didn't know you were a big sake person.
Love. You know how people talk about mezcal these days?
Mm-hmm.
And tequila?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with mezcal, I like it. Don't get me wrong. Don't come for me, guys.
Yeah.
But people have this whole thing about the mezcal right now. They're like, oh, you can drink it all night long. And like, it's so healthy because it comes from a plant.
Oh, that is just the whole, anybody telling me that TK thing, sorry, TK is what we say, you know, X thing is, doesn't give them a hangover. I'm like, you obviously didn't drink enough. Well, yeah. And also the same people who are like, it cuts both ways too. Because like the people who are like, oh my God, I can't drink tequila. It always gives me a hangover. And you're like, you have a hangover because you drank too much.
Right.
Like people are like, natural wine gives me such a bad hangover. It's like, stop drinking so much.
Or the people who are like, natural wine, I don't get any hangover at all because of the sulfites. It's like, none of that is true. You may, one time you got a hangover, the other time you didn't.
Yeah.
Don't try and tell me that I can drink mezcal all night long
and not feel it the next day. Are you about to tell me that you can drink sake all night long and not feel it the next day?
Yes.
Yeah. I die. Oh, Carla.
It's just so clean.
She contains multitudes.
It is, I don't know, it doesn't do it.
I am not an experienced sake or soju drinker by any means, but just the like, I almost feel like afraid to approach because of just the insane diversity.
Oh, yeah.
Within the category.
Oh, yes.
It's like, I don't even know where to start. You know,
it's like wine. I mean, it's like starting with wine and just being like, what? You know, there's so many types, so many places, so many, like the way it's made, it's so
totally
important.
Totally. And like, you know, so much has to do with where the rice is coming from, you know, much in the same way. You know, it's like, it's just rice. Rice is rice is rice. Grapes are grapes are grapes. But like where they're grown, how they're processed, how the, you know,
who
the situation
polished
is.
Them?
Who polished the grapes?
They're being polished.
That's the, I mean, I love, that's like, you know, a thing that comes up when you're, you know, you're at a restaurant, you're talking to somebody who knows about sake and they're like, oh, well, this is, you know, polished this much. These grains are polished this much. These are, which I assume just has to do with how much of the bran or like, you know, the germ is being removed. But I love thinking about it because I just imagine people, somebody sitting there,
you know,
like the people who carve your name into a grain of rice at the mall.
Yeah.
I imagine that, but they have like a micro chamois and they're just polishing the shit out of each individual.
It's like, we're going to be here a while, guys.
Yeah.
I got a lot of rice to polish. It should be, is that a metaphor for something? Like, you know, like, whatever.
Go polish rice.
Yeah. I got a lot of rice to polish, yeah, if you know what I mean.
Go kick dirt or whatever it is.
Like people say they have like a lot of fish in the fryer or whatever.
No, Carla, no, nobody has ever said that.
Oh.
Even at Bon Appetit. Nobody, irons in the fire, I believe is what you're referring to, not fish in the fryer. A lot of fish in the fryer. Same, Carla. Oh, boy. Yeah, I tell you what. Just a little overwhelmed right now. Got a lot of fish in the fryer.
Yep.
You know, some of it's tempura. Is this a good time to talk about tempura?
Sure.
Fish in the fryer.
Why not? A lot of fish in the fryer.
A lot of fish in the fryer.
Wait, what is it that people say when they're like, I'm so busy. It's just crazy.
I have a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, irons in the fire, but there's more other ones like that. That now I want to replace all of them
with a lot of balls in the air. A lot of balls in the air. Yeah, I guess that is
one.
Yeah,
that's one. I got a lot going on.
Well, I got, yeah. Polishing,
I got a lot of rice to polish.
I got a lot of rice to polish.
If you know
a
what
lot
I
of
mean.
Fish in the fryer. I mean, you can see that I am extremely busy.
Cool. Okay, so tempura.
Tempura. So we're just so everybody knows, we're just moving on from sake and other fermented rice beverages. We might loop back, but I feel like tempura feels important.
Yes.
Oh, but you want to talk about beverages.
No. We can move on.
Let's talk about beverages.
It's fine.
Okay.
Because 5.0 may, you know what I mean? Like,
but I do have a good story about a rice beverage.
Okay, hit me.
So,
great guys, if he was whispering, but what Emil just said, which no one has ever said, is, oh, but I do have a good story about a rice beverage.
That's true.
No one has ever said that.
So, my friend Kelly,
yeah,
who I love, went, took a trip to Korea, and she came back with this unbelievable beverage called makgeolli.
Oh,
which is a fermented rice beverage, kind of more, it's not distilled, it's like straight fermented, more in the style of sake rather than a soju or something like that. But it's kind of the wild version.
Totally.
So it's like very, and I think I was reading something about it that it had fallen out of fashion for a while and now is, and was thought of as kind of like a country beverage
yes.
or something just drank by old people. And now now it's kind of like taken on a certain kind of like natural wine shine.
Right. Cause it's like a less refined process.
Yes.
Right. And
so,
you could do it in, it's like bathtub gin. Kind
sure.
of.
Yeah. Or like, you know, homebrewed beer,
right.
you know, you're just like mixing up some rice with water, letting that ferment.
Yeah.
So it came in kind of like what looked like a 1 liter like plastic Pellegrino bottle or something like that.
Cool.
So it was like in this bottle, and what you saw on the bottom was probably like 2 inches of thick matter.
Sediment.
Sediment.
Wow.
Like a solid 2 inches. And the rest was clear with kind of like a slight tint to it. And she was like, it's really crazy. You have to be really careful opening it.
Oh.
And I was like, what are you telling me? Like, how careful could it possibly have to be? She was like, no, you need to stand over the sink and you need to.
Oh, like a shaken up.
Burp it. Yeah, like a shaken up
club
seltzer.
Soda.
Because it had produced so much gas. And what you did, I literally stood there and it would just be like. And I did that for 15 minutes.
Wow.
And as that happened, the sediment from the bottom, it would just, you know, like fizz up in the like kind of empty space at the top of the bottle. It would keep on fizzing and fizzing. And as it did that, the whole thing like re-emulsified.
Oh my God.
So it went from being like 2 inches of sediment and totally clear to like then completely milky.
And self-agitated.
And, oh my God, I couldn't, when we finally got, I mean, it was, we were just like cracking up, like, you know, how it just like would not stop foaming. Finally got the bottle open. And this stuff was so incredibly delicious. I thought it was going to be like really heavy.
Yeah.
You know, because it had that kind of milky, kind of like nigori sake.
Right.
Nigori is the unfiltered cloudy, yeah?
Don't know, but I
know.
Know.
I'm sorry. If,
unfiltered.
If you are out there and you know more, everybody knows more about sake than I do. But anyways, but this was, it was really dry.
Uh-huh.
It was not sweet at all. And very funky.
Mm-hmm.
Had like a real kind of like lactic kind of tang to it.
We know you love
and
the funky.
It was cold and it was so refreshing and I just fell in love. And it's, I mean, I think it's, from what I understand, there's not much of it that gets made in America and it's really difficult to transport for obvious reasons.
Well, I was going to say, props to Kelly for the bravery of putting this in the suitcase, which it could have, the whole thing could have just blown.
Yeah, I mean, she cannot be stopped. She is a force. She brought back like 3 bottles of that stuff that could have completely like just burst and
soaked
everything that she owns.
So I've never seen it in a bottle. I've enjoyed it very much at Korean restaurants where it always comes in the big like earthenware bowl.
Oh, never.
And
have I
the late what?
Yeah, I haven't had that.
So you've had this incredible artisanal self agitating burping over the sink experience.
I don't even think that we had like a super I think like what we had was like the Budweiser of makgeolli.
And it was still
fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, when you go to Korean restaurants and get it, it will come in this like earthenware big bowl with a ladle and like lots of little cups. And it's just really fun because it's
not carbonated in that.
No.
So
no,
I think
it's not
this was kind of more in like a PetNat style.
Got it.
Re-fermented in the bottle, which produced all that gas. So, but this, what you're describing sounds like more of like a homespun, not bottling it.
Who knows if they poured it out from a bottle into the, it's not like there's like a bottle presentation. You just get the service.
Yeah.
And it is such easy drinking and you have to be careful because you were saying it's like a wild process of making, but it also will make you crazy. In the drinking,
it will make
like
you
it
drunk.
Is one of those where you're just like, okay, it's going to be like that kind of a night, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. It's delicious.
That sounds so good. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's just amazing how much, because I think the cool thing about rice beverages, and especially like the alcoholic and fermented and distilled versions, is that you just get so many flavors.
Yeah.
I feel like you think of rice, you think of a pot of rice, and you think of kind of this like uniform kind of like a base flavor.
You know,
it's a starch. And which is not to say that like all starches don't have, you know, special flavor, and like, you know, rice is not rice.
But people do say like, oh, like plain rice.
Of course, right.
And it's like plain rice.
Right. But like having that, you know, I feel like the rice beverages, the fermented ones, are really when you get to taste all that difference and just kind of like where the rice is coming from. And it's just like, you know, you could taste 1,000 sakes and they're all going to taste different. It's so fun. So cool.
Just have to keep drinking them.
Just got to keep drinking them.
And they don't give you a hangover.
No.
It's great.
PSA, sake never gives you a hangover.
I had a solo dining experience on Monday night at a Korean restaurant in New York City on 35th okay. Street. I had a cold all weekend, sore throat, swollen glands, just not feeling great, really tired, wiped out.
Ugh.
And I had tried a couple things like sleeping and like, you know, Advil and like a lot of things over the course of the 3 days that I was sick. And then on Monday, I was like, the only thing that will heal me is very spicy kimchi stew.
Mm.
And I needed to have it. I had to have it.
Yep.
So I went to this restaurant. Of course, I'm blanking on the name. They make their own tofu there. Mm. And I got a spicy kimchi tofu and seafood stew.
Was it BCD Tofu House?
No, it was Chang Dal. Hold on. I'll look it up. There's like seven things I'm going to look up.
Okay, sorry.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll put all of this in the podcast notes.
Oh, my God. Now I'm realizing I had rice two ways in that meal.
Oh,
I wasn't. I was going to tell you about the sake, which I felt not only was not going to give me a hangover, but was going to be part of my healing process.
Yes,
that is right.
Yeah.
So I got my spicy tofu seafood stew, which I was very excited about. I was also very excited to eat alone, which sometimes is less like a paradise on earth.
Yeah.
And this restaurant has tables. They're like tables for six. But at one end of the table, like the 1/3 mark, they put up like a privacy screen.
Stop it.
Yeah. So you're at a communal table, but then you have the privacy screen. So the people on the other side of the thing, I was like, we could be doing confession right now.
Oh,
like, I don't even know what you guys are doing. I am in my own little zone. And it was an early dinner and I got my thing. And the way that they did the rice service was so awesome. Which I'd had before, what I wasn't expecting at all. So they brought me the stew, still burbling and bubbling in its pot.
Oh,
and then the guy came with a danabe of the perfectly cooked white short grain rice.
Mm-hmm.
And he scooped out from that, which was an unbroken, no one had touched, this was like a brand new pot of rice just for me. Just for me. So he scooped out like a nice big, you know, one of those rice bowls, whatever, put that. And then that was like half the rice. And then he scooped that out again, but set it aside. That was going to be for another diner who was not getting this full treatment. And then he poured the like buckwheaty broth into the danabe
that had the
crunchy, crispy rices.
Yes,
was like getting soaked and releasing from. And so I was like, wait, hold on. I get my bowl of rice. I get my spicy stew. And I've got that other whole thing of rice with the delicious broth now that is like taking the flavor of the rice, and the rice is taking the, it was, and then I had a whole little bottle of sake, probably, I don't know, 175 milliliter, like not, but freezing cold, the hot thing. I was sweating buckets. I was loving my rice experience. The place filled up, was so crowded. It literally was one of the most sustaining and fulfilling, and I'm not sick anymore.
Oh my God. Yeah, you don't look sick. You look healthy.
Thanks, Emil.
You look
vigorous. Actually a little bit still have a sore throat, but it's better for this story.
But I have had that experience before having, and I don't know if it was necessarily tea. I think in some instances it was just boiling water.
Oh, this
just
had a buckwheat, delicious buckwheaty flavor.
Because I also like the really pure, just like the water over the kind of toasted bottom rice situation, and you just have it's so soothing. Like at the end of the meal, it's just like
it's
tea
just
from dinner,
right? With bottom rice,
dinner
with the bottom rice,
with the bottom rice.
Oh yeah, tempura. We're gonna get to. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
This is just a yes or no. Do you love Rice Chex cereal?
Yes.
Great. Love it too.
Yeah. We weren't a big Chex family growing up, but
we were a Crispix family, but I've discovered Chex later in life. Mm-hmm. Just shout out to Rice Chex.
Oh my
God.
Rice Krispies?
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. How did we not even talk?
Rice cereal is not, we haven't even gone there.
Yeah. Ooh, Rice 5.0.
Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies.
There's a little age differential between you and I, but the Snap Crackle Pop, was that still a thing in your childhood?
Snap Crackle Pop, wake up call to the world.
There you go.
I don't know if it was part of my childhood, but I...
You are familiar with that.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, like it really does make all those great sounds.
Mm. Oh my God. Maple syrup on top of
definitely.
Rice Krispies.
Also milk. Delicious on Rice Chex. When I have night mm-hmm. cereal, it has maple syrup.
Night cereal.
And Rice Chex with rice milk and maple syrup. Fantastic combination. It's okay. Tempura. Another whole topic.
How
we get to tempura is through the path of rice flour.
Right. And soaking rice flour in water. Right. Which, I mean, is pretty much the foundation of tempura batter. And the thing that's cool about tempura batter is, like, you are hydrating the rice flour.
Right.
It takes a little bit longer to hydrate than, say, an all-purpose wheat flour or something like that. But what you have is this beautiful batter that fries up, so because there's no gluten forming.
Right.
You know, you don't have a thick batter that, like... coats in quite the same way. It's incredibly light.
Yeah.
And incredibly
crunchy. It's very
crunchy.
Silky. It's not like making strands of connecting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love tempura. I went to a tempura omakase restaurant.
Wow.
Which was an experience unlike any other.
Here in New York City?
No, it was actually in Durham, North Carolina.
Wow.
And... there are a few places in New York City that specialize in the same thing. Omakase, of course, is the, like, when you go to a sushi place, I think it means something like, you know, in your hands.
Yeah.
So you, like, sidle up to the sushi bar and you
order the omakase.
You basically
just surrender.
And they're just going to, the sushi chef is going to put one piece of fish at a time in front of you and you're going to eat it. And they're, you know, and I had that experience, but with tempura.
Oh my God.
They had these big fryers, special fryers. And
did they have a lot of fish in them?
A lot of fish in the fryer. I mean, actually, the restaurant was kind of empty. I was like one of the few people there. So there was exactly enough fish for me in the fryer.
Got it.
Small pieces. But it was so cool because they were, you know, that
Where'd
was
they
their...
start?
They started, well, they started with a couple of cold appetizers that were not tempura'd, which were awesome, but not within the purview of this podcast because they were not rice-based.
Because with omakase, you know, a lot of it is about pacing and pairing the flavor that you had before and the texture to, you know,
dude, and that was the thing that was so cool about this was also, so I got like a little tray and it had kind of all the accoutrement.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, so this is like a strong dashi. This is grated radish.
Yum.
Here's some pickles. Here's some yuzu salt.
Did they have that little special... the ground chili?
No, there was not the ground chili, but there was this amazing little metal fish that had a wedge of lemon in it.
Mm.
And it was like a little squeezer, so you could dispense drop of lemon. oh my God. Oh, the first thing I had, it was three different kinds of shrimp. Mm. There was like a Japanese shrimp, head-on shrimp, a like Peruvian head-on shrimp, and then like a North Carolina shrimp, and they were all so different. But the thing that was amazing is you're watching them, and it's like they're constantly tending to the tempura batter, you know, like making sure that it's like the right consistency, like making sure it's all good, and making sure that, you know, they're coating it in rice flour first, putting it into the tempura batter, and getting it into the fryer. All about timing. They talked about how their tempura batter was very lightly seasoned,
yeah,
because you're supposed to kind of season the whole thing after, and it's just this beautiful play of like temperature. You know, they would take my piece of tempura out of the fryer and then they would rest it for kind of just the right amount of time so that by the time it got to me, it was like the perfect temperature.
And another thing about tempura is like how little fat or grease there should be clinging to the food when it's done. Like, it's so light, as opposed to, you know, other styles of fried foods that are just like very deeply fried for a long time. Like the tempura is such a light golden color.
Yep.
And transparent. Right. And that silkiness.
And
so they were coating the ingredients in the rice flour before.
And then into the tempura batter. Yeah, I believe so.
Yesterday, I had a dish, an Andy Baragani original. He was working on a spring onion tempura that where he had very tiny, you know, new spring onions that he halved like the going down the long way.
Mm-hmm.
Trimmed the root but left it still intact so that it would hold all the layers of the onion together. Yum. And he had a very nice tempura batter going, very light, very crunchy. The problem was when he bit into it, it did the thing that is awful when you have an onion ring and you bite through and the whole onion like slips out.
It happens.
We had to work on that, but visually it was quite nice. Very nice.
Very nice. Very rice.
I mean, the other rice flour fantastic invention is Korean fried chicken.
Oh, my God.
And I just think that people realize that rice flour as a dredge is just one of the secrets to the lightest, crispiest crusts that you can get on a thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, Korean fried chicken is like a whole, you know, whole situation.
It's a giant topic that I don't know enough about, but you really got me thinking with this, the lack of gluten in the molecules, right? Because it's starchy without having gluten.
Yep.
So the way that it hydrates and the way that it coats are completely different, and it doesn't have the same structure at all.
Yeah.
It's like so much more uniform.
Right.
I just want to toss everything in rice flour now.
Oh my God.
We should be making more of our fried calamari.
Oh my God. What is the, we had that Wild Air Frito Misto recipe. Was that rice flour or is that cornmeal?
It's got a lot of cornstarch, I believe.
Hmm.
And leaveners. But I think there's also rice flour.
I think there might be rice flour. Yeah.
So other topics to explore in the future, perhaps.
Yep. Yeah, this is the teaser part of the
episode. This is the teaser part of, it really never ends.
Right.
You know, with rice.
Nope.
It could sustain entire nations with no end.
That's pretty much what's been happening for time immemorial. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is the fuel that will sustain this podcast till the end of time.
Yeah. I wish there was a rice cooker right in the middle of the table.
that we could just get into now.
Mm-hmm. So other topics to explore. Rice cereals.
Rice cereal, which...
Rice Krispies.
Where have we been?
Rice Chex. Rice Krispie Treats.
Yep.
I mean...
And baby rice cereal. Like, that was some of the first baby cereal the babies ever had.
Like porridge, yeah.
Yep. Well, back to porridge.
Back to porridge.
We didn't talk about the rice tea. So we talked about some of our alcoholic and our sweetened rice beverages.
Mm-hmm.
But like the puffed rice and green tea.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's just the rice.
Mm-hmm.
It started to make me think that if I rinse some rice,
mm-hmm.
Also, did the people watch the ASMR where I rinse the rice? That's pretty hilarious also. I chose rice on purpose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Bon Appetit's YouTube channel, we did a pretty silly on April 1st ASMR.
Yeah, it's funny.
Video.
That felt, I mean, it was like, I don't know why that came out on April. I mean, I get it. It was like different from the, but it didn't feel like a joke.
No. So, but purposely, I rinsed rice on the ASMR.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
There was a lot of rice rinsing going on. Only the rice wizards really, that was for the rice wizards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So I have this theory. I haven't tried it out, but there's nothing stopping me. Rinse some rice. Just to get
them
surface starches, and as we've talked about before, there's some like dirt that they pick up in the processing, and like the burlap fibers or like whatever the heck is going on there. Rinse your rice, get it to a place, and then kind of like you're making spa water. Have you ever done this? Have you ever just soaked rice in water and kept it in the fridge?
No, but that sounds so cool.
Don't you think that would be delicious?
I bet it would be really delicious.
And
it would just be to our kind of like, you know, to the Korean like, you know, rice kind of soup tea.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end
to
of
your
meal.
Point.
Totally.
Right.
But I think it would be very mild.
It would be mild, but I think it could be very refreshing.
Very refreshing.
I guess at a certain point it might start to ferment.
I think it would. I think if you left it out at room temperature, I think it would probably would not get that far in the fridge. But if you if you soaked rice, kept it out for like 24 hours in a, you know, on the kitchen counter, in a jar or something like that, pop that in the fridge. I feel like it would, you know. It would start to lightly ferment the longer it sat out.
Something would happen. I'd like to think of things that would be delicious in combination with that, because then we could invent a new spa water.
Oh, my God.
Rice. Because spa water is so eye-rolly. But, like, rice spa water is, like, eye-opening.
I was going to say, I think rice water sounds a little eye-rolly, too. Somebody tried to sell me rice water, I think I'd probably, as much as I love rice, I think I'd be a little freaked out.
What if we... You know, when you have
Carla,
left...
we gotta save this for the next cast. There's too much. We can't go. We're gonna invent a whole new category of beverage, and the world is not yet ready.
So, Emil, just promise me this before we go.
Yep.
Promise me, you'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll always come back for rice.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che, and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.